We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Turn up, turn up.
Turn it up.
Turn this thing up. Turn it up.
Yeah!
Old man Granky, pound that son of a bitch. That's what you want. Put another nine on his ass.
Sanders swings and drives one to left. High and deep.
Thunderbolt.
It is long gone.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like it's about to kind of come at you pretty hard and strong?
Oh, wait,
don't you kind of think?
Guess I'm too dull.
I'm just saying.
To be around.
Listen, I'm the turn in the punch bowl.
I thought it was a strike.
Oh, he called it a ball outside.
Fine.
So what? What
I
are you?
Don't
are you throwing Steve Burton on me?
What is that?
They're due.
Line in the right center field. Big trouble. It gets down for a hit. It's rolling to the bullpen wall, and they clear the bases.
You know that this lineup is still dangerous.
It has been a seven-run ninth inning.
Check it up. Come on, let me hear it.
Here we go. Give me the chorus. Come on. Jack this thing up like we're at Fenway.
Swing and a drive to left field, and this ball game is tied. Home run, Altuve.
Alex, is Chris your starter tomorrow?
Yes, he'll be ready.
We got a bunch of pitchers in there that have the same mindset. It doesn't matter when or where, just hand me the ball. I'm going to swing it until you take it.
It's Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, here we go. We got a Wednesday here. What do you say,
we got a Wednesday.
Yet?
Hello, Lou.
Ooh,
we got a Wednesday. We got a Wednesday.
We also
that
got
sounded like, actually sounded like it was like the Red Sox won.
Yeah, I know.
In a weird way.
We got a series. We got a best of three. There it is. 2-2. Nightmares came true. The Astros woke up. Beat your ass 9-2.
Yeah,
seven. Seven in
seven.
The ninth. That was Joe Castiglione with seven. Seven runs in the ninth. And Christian, we talked about it. I felt good about pitching matchups, but it's still an Astros team. It's still a team that's been there before. I mean, this is a lineup that you should be scared of, and it happened in the ninth inning, and your fears sort of came true yesterday.
They did, and I was just waiting for it. I was just waiting for it. And for the record, real quickly, though, Alex Cora, before I get started.
Yes.
3:15.
Yes, he is. He's
Alex Cora
is
going to join us at 3:15. So, no, I did. And let's just look at this team overall. So this team, this Astros team, one, you know, obviously they're a veteran team.
Yeah.
They're good at coming back inside just in a game. Like, forget about a series, in a game. But they're also good at coming back from a series. Last year, they were down 0-3. They had a couple times where they were down 0-2. They have the ability to come back. And I keep hearing all these stats about how long Bregman, Correa, Altuve, all these guys have played together. They've been together forever. So they all have the same experience. So sure enough, you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you're down. And then you're tied. And then Altuve hits a home run. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, no, what the hell's going on? But then you get two outs. And they get seven runs on two outs. The game really should be over. You should really feel at that point in time with two outs that you have the advantage, that the damage has been done, and you can get the hell out of this inning and start the next one. But no, not with this team. And I saw this stat because with two outs, seven runs with two outs, I thought was absurd. And I just looking at the playoffs in general, as far as the Astros are concerned,
mm-hmm.
during the playoffs,
pretty good.
Eight games, okay, with runners in scoring positions and two outs, they're hitting .472.
Yeah, I know, Jesus.
That is, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
You want to know what you're hitting?
What?
In the same situation?
What?
You're hitting .182.
Yeah.
So they are it is an odd series based on all the home runs that the Red Sox are hitting and to get runs and how they're doing it and when they're doing it. So there's, like, clusters of explosions for both teams. The Red Sox with all their grand slams, the ninth inning for the Astros where they go seven runs with two outs. That's absurd. So my point and my fear did come true, and it's not going to go away. Like, they're not going to all of a sudden change their mentality and suddenly be afraid of the moment. That's not the Astros.
No, it's not. And it's a dangerous team. We've been saying it before. And, you know, you do have guys like Greinke on the mound. You kind of let him off the hook. And that was, to me, the biggest thing. You kind of let him off the hook, you know, in that first inning especially. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bregman gave you a gift, and then he took it away. Unbelievable play on Renfro. Like, that ball gets by Bregman, you know, maybe a different hop, a little short hop instead of a little candy hop backhand as hard as it was hit. You know, and it's definitely 3-1. You know, maybe it's 4-1. I don't know. And now you're getting the explosion that you wanted, right? But they made the great defensive play to stop it. You had it again. You had first and second again. You know, Kike Hernandez struck out when they brought the lefty in. And, you know, then you had man on third and Kyle from Waltham. You know, just hit the ground ball with the infield in. Couldn't get a run in. So in that first 3-4 innings, you had an opportunity to make a 2-1 game, 3-1, 4-1, maybe even 5-1. And it didn't happen. So we got late. And I said this yesterday, Christian, like, you know, where everybody were talking about what Alex was. He has 17-5 in the postseason in that core we trust. And I said, you know, right now we're talking about how great this guy is, how they have an advantage of any manager in baseball. That's how good Cora is, the Cora whisperer. And I said, he is one game away from being called an idiot, which I think is what we kind of hear a little bit today. Like, people questioning some of the things that just don't even need to be questioned. I've heard so many people on social media that were against Nate Eovaldi coming into this game. You know, wondering, like, is it right to bring starters into a game? Like you just, and you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just following the team. Maybe they missed a World Series run. Because I would say if you don't like starters coming in relief, then you must have hated them winning a World Series 2 years ago, in 2018, 3 years ago. Because that's all they did. That's all they did. And in a tie game in the ninth, you absolutely bring Eovaldi in. That's his bullpen day. And I got news for you. Erod's the guy tonight. He might not close, but Erod's the guy. It's his bullpen day. Erod is going to be Eovaldi. He's got one. Might be the sixth. Might be the seventh. Might be a left-handed pocket. Whatever. I don't know. But bringing in Nate Eovaldi was the right call. Taking out Nick Pivetta was the right call. You know, and people, when you lose, you got to blame somebody. I get it. But sometimes it just doesn't work. And just like the first game, people blaming him for starting Chris Sale while you're up 3-1 going into the sixth. There's nothing before that. It's his fault. The game's, you're in control. It's 3-1. And what happened? Hal gave it up. You know, and then Robles gave it up. Guys you rely on. So what happened in this one? It was set up. Whitlock gives it up. And Eovaldi gives it up. So, I mean, it's just, sometimes it just flat out doesn't work. But you can't question a lot of it. You want to sit there and question about Perez coming in the ninth? I'll jump you. I'll jump in on that one. I'll wonder why maybe Robles a better, I know it's lefty-righty matchup. You know, in hindsight, does Alex Cora wish that Austin Davis was on this roster instead of Darwinson Hernandez for that hitter right there? Yes. Yes, but there's nothing they can do about it right now. There's nothing. Darwinson came in, is on that roster because he can get righties and lefties out maybe better than Davis can get righties out. But as we saw the other night, he's going to be hidden in that bullpen.
So just to jump on your point and your topic, because, you know, you're going to sit there and say, oh, Eovaldi gave it up. Or you can say, well, then, you know, the ump is terrible. He's terrible. Why is he umping these games?
Yeah.
And I would say, well, if Renfro catches that ball,
oh God,
we are not having this issue. The same issue I had with Aguilar not catching a slant and running it for a touchdown in overtime, a very routine catch that he should make 100 times out of 100. Now, maybe Renfro's that catch
was that
Derrick Griffey was a little bit harder than Aguilar's. Okay, a slant route, okay, is pretty basic. Okay, Renfro's opportunity, I would think a pro ball player that is starting in right field should be able. I should expect him to catch that. Here's is my thing. Yes. He didn't catch it.
Renfro.
So whose fault is that? Is that Eovaldi's fault?
Well,
is it Mac Jones' fault that Aguilar drops the ball and he gets hit with an incompletion?
Renfro's not a very good right fielder. Okay, can we just get that out there? Renfro's got a cannon. Yes, he's got a very good arm that he throws out just as many runners as he kind of gives up, right? Does that make sense? Like, it's just, yes. He'll throw some guys out, and you're just like, wow, what a cannon. And then he'll airmail a couple of throws. You know, guys are taking extra bases, and he's throwing the ball away, or he's dropping balls or not cutting them off. Like, he's not a very good right fielder. He just happens to have a really good arm. And I'm with you on that one. You know, that wasn't I don't think that was like an Aguilar catch right in his hands.
No, it's the degree of difficulty right. Was a little bit tougher. I'll give
like
you that.
He was a little awkward when he turned and ran. And it'd be different if the ball went over his glove. But when a ball goes to the side of your glove, that tells me something went wrong.
And he knew he should have caught it. You can read his body. Two people knew this should have had a different outcome. Eovaldi, his body language was obvious, okay? And Renfro, who knew that he completely screwed up.
Yeah, bad route.
So we're going to sit there and blame it on the ump for not calling a strike a ball, a strike, and then blame it on him.
Oh, we're going to get to Laz Diaz.
I don't know. The whole thing is, if you really want to, like, question it, I would even say you could even go back to the third inning. You mentioned Bregman's pick at third base, right? When it felt like they were starting to get a little rally going. It kind of felt like, you know, something was going to happen. But instead, who was actually up at that point? Because I think Verdugo had already walked. He was on first base in the third inning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. The point is, you could have had one out, men on first and second. Instead, you have two out, men on first.
Lost opportunities. Yeah. This is a tough one. We got a series now. It's best out of three. And you got to go back to Houston right now. So we're going to get into what we expect from Chris Sale in the bottom of the hour. At 3:15, Alex Cora is going to join us as well. But when we come back, we got to get into my man Laz. Laz has been there a long time. I think Laz has been there a little bit too long, if you ask me. We're going to talk Laz Diaz as the Red Sox drop this one 9-2. They give up 7. And all of a sudden, all the confidence you had after hitting grand slams and putting up 9 runs in the first 3 innings and taking 2 games in a row. Oh, boy, how things have changed. We'll get more into it as well with Maloney and Foria next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
Alex, you just said one pitch away. Did you think that was strike 3 at 1-2?
I got to take a look. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought it was a strike.
Do you think Nate was at all deflated by that or thrown off by that?
He was upset. Then he threw a fastball up. He fouled it off, and then he threw a split. And he was a little bit in front and put a good swing. Castro has put good at-bats against us. He's a good hitter.
Alex Cora after the game talking about the that one pitch everyone's talking about. A breaking ball up and away, caught the corner of the strike zone. Nate's walking off the mound, didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, seven runs later. So what'd you think of that one?
Well, I actually thought it was a strike.
Yes.
I thought it was a strike, but this guy was erratic and he was all over the place all night. Actually, I was trying to figure out exactly how can a guy like that. Like, usually with, like, you know, any other pro sport and any other championship playoff, you know, run, you would only want your best umpires, your best referees to coach, to manage and to ump and ref, like, the most important games. How does a guy like this, how do they allow him to actually ump this game when he's not even one of the best in the league to do it?
Yeah. That's
my issue.
I don't like the way they go about it. They really should have the absolute best umpires. You have 24 early on. When it gets to this point in the season with AL and LCS, give me the 12 best, period, end of story, by the grading system, because they do grade them. Laz Diaz has never been a good umpire. Never been a good umpire. Last night, a bad umpire had a bad night, which is not a good combination. You know, they put out these umpire scorecards. And they actually grade them out, and it's right there. And I think it's umpire scorecard. That's like the Twitter handle, whatever it is. And the league average, as far as overall accuracy, is 94%. And you'll see some guys with 97% nights and 98% nights and 94 or 93, whatever. 88% for Laz. That is a horrific night for a major league umpire. 88% accuracy. The problem, overall consistency was 97, which tells you that he was consistently horse bleep all night long. You know what I mean? He was consistent, just consistently awful. And the two biggest calls he made all night were the two worst ones he made. Number one was the worst call he made all night long, if I graded out by this one, was the J.D. Martinez strike 3 on the stolen base. That wasn't even close. But, I mean, I might give him a pass because Maldonado pops up and he might lose the sight of the ball, which happens a lot.
But that was a horrible call.
Now, this one here, I'll say this. It was a strike. All right? He should have given it to him. But... We got to stop acting like, though, it was a fastball down the middle, thigh high. You know what I mean? Like, split the plate. Then we can lose our mind. How do you miss that? You should be fired. This was a borderline strike.
Well, no, but okay,
I felt
that's
like
fine.
It was a borderline strike.
But as far as the overall, you know, whole, like, you know, aspect borderline. Of it, like, everything that went into it, like, he was bad
yeah.
the entire night.
He was.
So to me, it's compounded when, in the most important time of the game, he's going to have a borderline call. I would say tie goes to the pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, on the fence goes to the pitcher.
And usually it goes to that little home crowd, too. People are up there screaming and yelling. He wants to ring you up, look in. Everybody snap out. You want to be part of that moment. Instead, he's the opposite. Nope, that was a ball.
No, I thought he was bad. I just don't understand
how
they would ever allow him to actually be a major decision maker in a game with so much importance in it. Like, he should not be umping. He should not be actually involved in postseason. And you're telling me that the guy's, he's never been a good ump. Like, he's never been a good ump, yet here he is in the ALCS determining wins and losses. And, like, it's not even close. That whole situation needs to be reevaluated.
I hated it. You know what I hated even more, though? Like, the horrible hanging split that Nate threw to get the run. Was it
Castro?
Castro, rather. That horrible hanging split. Like, his split's been good. It drops off the table like a foot. It's been nasty. Not that one. That bothered me more. And I know they should have been out of the inning, but that bothered me more. Throw a better pitch. You're out of the inning. You strike the guy out. I mean, at that point in ninth, haven't we already established this guy sucks? Like, he's going to be out, well, I think the rotation's out to left field corner. God bless him, by the way. Like, he's going to be out in left field and right field, left field corner tonight at Fenway Park. People are going to be leaning over, getting
good.
All over his ass.
Hanging with Hunter.
Oh, my God. He's going to be out there all night long. No, he was awful. But, again, that hanging split from Nate kind of pissed me off. Maybe more than anything. I don't know. We'll see. Let's get to the calls. Let's go. Let's go Jerry in North Andover. Jerry, what's up?
So yesterday you played the Eeyore music when I cautioned against irrational over-exuberance.
Yes.
You know,
it's your excitement that you speak in.
Guess I'm too dull to be around.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, these Astros aren't there because they're a little league team.
Right.
And the Red Sox, clearly no team. Well, maybe what, the 27 Yankees could keep up what they'd been doing for so long. And now everybody is all doom and gloom in the same way that they were overly optimistic yesterday. So maybe we ought to figure out how to tread the middle ground.
Thanks, Jerry.
Well, see, first of all,
we gotta
get
Jerry some coffee.
The Eeyore was because of your just overall tone and, you know, cadence. It was just very, it sounded like Eeyore. But we said that yesterday.
I was riding high, and then we had Jerry on, and he just sort of, like I said, he just sort of brought it all down. There's not much energy there from Jerry.
Fourier was the turn, the punch ball. He got Jerry all riled up.
Yeah, you did. Nick in Rhode Island maybe brings a little more energy. Nick, what's up? You awake?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Nick?
There you go.
Question for you guys to hopefully debate. What do you think is better for Major League Baseball long term? Move to a computerized, automated umpire behind home plate, or you have the human element, they make mistakes, and the batters have to adjust for it?
I like the human element, Nick. Did you guys see that clip of the summer? Was it independent ball? They do the electric robots?
Yeah.
Did you see the pitch that the robot called the strike?
Were their wires crossed?
It was like a fastball down and away with a catcher like had to like get in the left-handed hitter's batter's box and basically block it. And all of a sudden, the buzzer went off, and the umpire's like, strike. And the hitter looked at him, and the umpire looked at him, and it's like, sorry, the buzzer went off. Like, everyone's laughing. Like, the hitter's pissed. Like, you want that?
No, well, I would say
a
that
glitch
listen,
in the computer,
there will be some glitches. They will tinker with it to kind of get it right. But I would like a little bit of both. How about that? How about like when there's an egregious call like that, like going to review, like with a catch or something like that in the NFL or all the other opportunities? You should be on a play like that. That is so important, and with a guy who doesn't have a good track record, like. What are we doing?
No, how about this?
Here's the thing, Alex. I get it. It's a hard job.
No, I'm just saying.
You're never going to be 100%.
I know, but better idea. Just stop having crappy umpires do playoff games. Like, you know, they grade them out. I just told you this. Overall accuracy last night was 88. The average of the league is 94. Just throw all these cards together. All right, let's see. Well, Laz, what do you average? Are you average 89% percentile, like accuracy? Yeah, you're not doing a playoff game. Oh, you average 95, above average. You got to play. You're in. Congratulations.
Yeah,
you're going to the
you
ALCS. And then you know what? Then you're going to the World Series, too. You're going to have the entire playoffs. And just find the most accurate umpires, the guys that are best at what they do, and have them do the playoff. Angel Hernandez. Angel Hernandez should never do a regular season game, let alone seeing his ass doing a playoff game. You know, these types of guys. C.B. Buckner, get his ass out of here, too. I just want the good umpires. And there's a lot of new young umpires in this league. And some of them are horse bleep. Well, they don't give him the games.
By the way, Angel is doing playoff games.
I know.
He was in the Giants-Dodgers series.
I know. And look at Laz Diaz. What do we got here? Scorecards for basically July to August. The worst one is Kerwin Danley, 89% accuracy. You know who's second to last? Laz freaking Diaz at 90%. He averages. Last night he was 88. Slightly off his horrible average. He's just bad. He ranks 95th out of 96 umpires. And this is the guy that's behind the dish in Game 4 of the ALCS. The 95th best umpire in Major League Baseball is behind the dish in the ALCS. That's your problem. Screw the robots. Don't let your second worst umpire in the league sit behind a dish. Well,
the
how about that?
Possibility of robot empires, robot style of empire calling balls and strikes.
But it's just no need.
Not a bit.
There's just no need for it. I mean, it's awful. I don't know, let's go to Kevin and Quincy. Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
I know, Lou, you played obviously in the majors, and I played at a pretty high level myself. And like, yeah, there is a human element that like is part of the game, but we have the technology now, and strikes are not subjective. It's either a strike or it isn't. And like that one last night, that one hurt. It really did.
Yeah, well, obviously it did hurt, but again, I it hurt. I thought it could have went either way, to be honest with you. Like, it could have been either way. Like, again, it's a backdoor breaking ball. So, you know, where's that little box? Is it in front of the catcher? Is it in front of the plate? Because if it's in front of the catcher, the back of the plate, the front of the plate, it's a breaking ball. It's coming around it, right? If it's a fastball, or if he's throwing something that's breaking away and it hits that top corner, then it tells you one over the plate. So it's a borderline call. It really is. And it sucks that it didn't go your way. But I don't think it was like a given strike. That's not the point. The point is that this guy's the 95th best umpire in baseball. And he's getting an ALCS?
Yeah. So if you're wondering what his number is, if you're out there at Fenway Park tonight and you're sick of Mr. Brightside, now don't say anything nasty. Don't be overly mean, you know, because we don't want that reputation coming back. He wears number 63. Even the umps get numbers, right? Everybody gets a number, right? He's number 63. An odd choice, but I guess it had to do something with the date, the year he was born.
Yeah.
He's also married to the Houston Astros, in case you were wondering. I don't know. Is that true?
It's on Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia. Oh,
that's his Wikipedia?
Oh, he's a disgrace to baseball who blew a game single-handedly in the 2021 ALCS. All right, there you go.
Citation needed.
All right, somebody already added to his Wikipedia. I love it. All right, listen, Sox fans, how'd you feel about that game last night? What did you think? Where were the mistakes? You want to talk about mistakes? How about this? It didn't work. On the game five, it's a best of three. Chris Sale on the mound versus Framber Valdez. We'll get into what expect from Chris Sale tonight. Let us know what you think. 617-779-7937. We do Chris Sale next.
Alex, is Chris your starter tomorrow?
Yes.
And how much do you think reasonably that you can get out of him, given the last couple?
He'll be fine. You know, the way he threw the ball at the end of that outing in Houston, it was good. The way he worked in between starts, it was good. So he'll be ready.
Alex Cora, Chris Sale, he's got the start here tonight in Game 5. When you start to look at it, the way they sort of map it out, I know Curtis, those guys, they still hate the idea. Like, oh, now what? Now you got them going Game 5. Well, it allowed you, and you know they're thinking like this, it allowed you to use Nate in Game 4 to close out a game. They knew that was his time. And Game 6, it's now going back to Houston. We know that. So whether you're up 3-2 or down 3-2, you get Nate Evaldi on the mound. Isn't that the way you want to go?
Seems like a good plan.
Isn't that what you want?
Seems like a good plan.
It is.
No, it'll backfire, though.
So what do we do with Sale tonight? What do you expect? I'm going to go to these calls real quick, but get your quick thoughts.
I'm going to say, okay, so 2 2/3 last time he pitched. To me, it was like, seems like it was a struggle. Seems like it was like, oh, my God, there was a lot of laboring going on. I actually think he's going to do a better job. I'm going to give him 4 scoreless innings is what I'm going to give him. I think there's something that has nothing to do with him being due. I think just based on, like, his last 2 outings, I feel like, you know, the last time he pitched against Tampa, I feel like there was some confidence and understanding of what he was capable of. I expect him to play well, to pitch well, because, one, he has to. He has to pitch well.
Well, I'd say that same approach as last time. Hey, don't try to pitch at 93, 94 and give me 5. I'm not interested in that. Because I think against this lineup, I think they're going to hit your ass. You know, I think they're going to hit you. You know, because I don't think he could pitch like that right now. You know, because he doesn't have a third pitch. So it's got to be everything you got out of the gate. It's got to be a few fastballs out of the gate. It's got to be 96, 97. I want to see fastballs up and in, sliders down and in, fastball slider command. If he has fastball slider command, he can do what he did last time, which was and hopefully get you into the fourth. Hopefully give you four, that type of thing. But I don't want him holding anything back. You've been sitting on Tanner Houck now for the entire series. You know, he's the guy that's going to come in, and maybe somebody situationally to get out of an inning. You know, in other words, if it's the right pocket, maybe it's Ottavino to get the righty, then boom, Tanner Houck comes in the fourth or the fifth. I don't know. We'll probably use him for a couple innings. I don't want him holding back. I want to see 96 in that first inning. I don't want to see fastball command. That's kind of like what I'm looking at. Let's go to Adam in Nashua. Adam, hey, Adam, by the way, we were at the game last night. You didn't dance, did you?
No, see, that's the problem. They lost because I wasn't at the
there
game.
But well,
don't worry. I'm bringing my energy tonight, boy. I'm going to be loud as hell. And if that baby comes, I'm going to lose again.
That's the wrong attitude, Adam. You need to say if that baby dares tries to test you again, then you take it out.
This is like Adam versus baby part two.
Yeah, you take the baby out, Adam.
I kind of hope this baby's here. But listen, guys, I tell you, the reason I called is I just really think with this crowd and the way when I was there on Monday, I mean, I was almost getting tone deaf just by, you know, the start behind Eddie Rodriguez and how loud this crowd was. This is what Chris Sale needs. It's not just him having fastball command, not having him go out of the gate throwing 96, 97. He needs this home crowd. He needs Boston. And I got to tell you, Red Sox Nation, get loud for this guy because this is what he needs to turn the script, just like what Eddie Rodriguez did against the Rays in the division series. I think it's that boost that he needs. It's that confidence that he needs. And tonight is the night that he's just going to be able to flip this script. So, Red Sox Nation, get loud for this Duke. That's what we need for Chris Sale.
All right, Adam, appreciate it. I still say that you have the advantage. We'll see. Valdez is still a good pitcher. He can give him four or five. He can. The biggest thing is to mention, I think, actually, Christian Javier, the righty out of the bullpen, gave you three. He threw in game one. He gave you two. He's the X factor for this team. He's the best long relief guy you got. So he's unavailable. He ain't throwing today. He threw like almost 60 pitches. You're going to get the Valdez. You're going to get in the same kind of pocket of relievers that you want. Odorizzi. That's the guy you want, right? And then they got Graveman. He used two last night. So last night they unloaded. They had a fresh bullpen because they got smoked. So they had there's five innings from their two of their best pitchers in Presley. Six innings from their best pitchers. Javier can't come and pitch today. You know, I don't think Graveman give you two. So it's like, you know, they're vulnerable today. And you need to take advantage of it and get his ass out. Eddie, in the car, you're on with Lou and Christian. What's up?
Hey, guys, how are you? Listen, I'm not the least bit worried about today. All right, they took last night off. Some of the umpires took last night off. It's okay. You know, the bats weren't hitting. But I expect them to come out tonight and play their game. And I don't know why people all of a sudden are twitching that the Red Sox lost last night. I mean, you know, would we have liked to have been able to, you know, win it here at Fenway? Of course. But when everything's said and done, nothing's changed. Houston still is vulnerable, and they can be beat. Now, let's see what happens tonight, but I still think that they have a lot of question marks. And, you know, I can't wait for the game to start at 5 o'clock.
All right, thanks. I would say that these two teams, if you were to sit there with three games to go and grade it out, Christian, I would say lineups is a push. It's still a push.
Really?
And I just think it's advantage Red Sox pitching. But it's a push. And like we've seen, they could have the advantage with the pitching, and your lineup can still put up nine. You could have the advantage of the pitching, and their lineup can still put up nine on you. Like, they can still hit these
guys.
It's all
push.
About the lineup.
And I guess
it's all about the offense.
You're a victim of the moment, because last night you get seven runs in one inning. And it is odd to me how all the runs have come in clusters. There have been outbursts. There's been explosions of runs. There hasn't been like, okay, one run in the first inning, you know, two runs in the third. And then you got another run in the fourth inning. And, you know, a back and forth, like, you know, battle, you know, at the plate. It's been like this nothing, 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 like Altuve. Like everyone we talked about yesterday, like that home run for Altuve was the first hit since game one.
Yeah.
The first hit he's had since game one. It was a first pitch home run. And he was waiting on it. He was just hunting for it. He knew they were going to throw it. He's listening to everything that Cora is talking about. And that's kind of what I was going to ask him about. Is like, you're telling, they know that you don't want your pitchers to walk anybody. So they know that you're going to be super aggressive and throw strikes. I feel like advantage Houston, wait, so you don't want to take any chances and you want to throw them early. You want to be aggressive early. All right, I'm just going to wait on it.
Yeah, you know what it was last night? I don't know if you remember this, the Pivetta in the first inning. I think the only strike he threw was the home run ball to Bregman. I really do. I think the only strike he threw that inning. He came out and first hitter Altuve, fastball up and in. That's a ball. Got him to swing. Then it was Brantley. Everything was up and away. He got in the chase. Everything's up and top of the zone. I'm like, man, like he's got two quick outs here. And I don't know if this is the strategy, but he's throwing nothing but balls up, like fastballs up. And I was like, he can't control it. He can't get the ball down. And then the very first pitch he threw down was the fastball to Bregman. He didn't throw a strike, to your point. Like, you know, like Erod the night before, he threw strikes. He got ahead. But it was on the outside corner, strike one. It was inner half, strike one. It was up and away, strike one. It was up and in, strike one. It was quality, strike one.
Yeah.
It wasn't groove, strike one, like Pivetta did, you know, to Bregman, like Whitlock did to Altuve. So they're strikes, but they're quality strikes. And I think that's a big difference here. What? Let's see, Andre in Ohio. What's up,
that's
Andre?
That's where Waltham is from.
Andre, yeah.
Kyle from Waltham.
Go ahead, Andre. Your own little Christian.
How you guys doing? Good. So, actually, funny story about that. I grew up in Waltham and then moved out to Ohio just down the street from Middletown.
Oh, my God. See, look at that. Okay, yeah, okay. Andre from Middletown. Yeah. What's up?
So basically, I think that first inning for Chris Sale is going to set the tone for the game. If he comes out and just has that fire, the offense is going to forget about last night. And they're gonna follow behind that. And I think that will light the fire to then hopefully – unleash the hit parade throughout the game. So I think what we see in that first inning is going to set the tone. Yep. Thanks.
Usually does. It usually does. I mean, three innings in two games, you knew it was a blowout. Right? It was like 6-0, yeah. 9-0. And then the other two games, it was, you know, 1-0, 2-1. And you're like, okay, strap it in. Here we
no
go.
No way it's going to end like this. It's not going to be here, a 2-1 win, 3-2.
Right? Yeah.
Someone's going to go crazy.
I want to go to Eric. He had some questions about last night. Eric, what's up, man? You're on Lou and Christian.
Just a quick question. Thanks for having me on again, fellas. Was Alex Cora planning on pitching Whitlock two innings last night? I know he was loaded for bear and he was rested since they got away with pitching those three bums the other night, Perez, Salamora, and whoever it was. Any thoughts on bringing in Brazier for the seventh if you're going to pitch him two innings anyway and leaving Whitlock in for 8-9?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's one of them. I just said, like, you know, Brazier in the seventh rather than Whitlock for two, or you know, Robles in the ninth rather than Perez, even though it's lefty lefty. You know, I just think Whitlock. If somebody say Whitlock's not a two inning guy, Whitlock. I mean, I guess he just started watching. I don't know. Whitlock's been a two inning guy all year long. He's a two inning guy. So you tell me. I don't have a crystal ball. Like, I am surprised that bottom third, bottom fourth of the order, he went right to Whitlock in the seventh, but he's just going for the jugular. He's his best reliever. So he said, I'm going two with my best reliever. I'm going to get through this thing quick. We're going to get to the eighth. You know, maybe in that bottom of the eighth or whatever it is, the bottom of the seventh, we're going to put more runs and extend it, whatever. I don't know. If he goes Brazier and gives you a clean seventh and Whitlock comes out, does the first pitch while Altuve go out of the park anyway? You know, or did he not have anything in the tank? Like, do we really believe that he ran out of gas in that second inning? He's been doing it all year.
Mm.
So I just don't have a problem with it. I put that under, it didn't work.
Aren't you damned if you do, damned if you don't?
You're damned if your reliever gives it up.
Fine. Right,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what it's based.
Yeah, which is fine. And the thing is that they know that. I feel like, you know, even Cora last night, he was like, you know, there really isn't any really, you know, need to explain a lot. It didn't work. That's all he said. You know, this is what we did. It didn't work.
I would say this.
Like Eovaldi going in the ninth, it didn't work.
Right.
It seemed, when I saw Eovaldi going in, I was like, all right, well, I mean, this is the best you got. Let's see if they can, you know, get some runs. He'll get him out of this. It felt like he was going to.
Like, people are pissed that Pivetta came out at 65 pitches. The guy hasn't really started in a while. He's pitched out of relief. He's giving you 65, 70 pitches or so. He's about to face Brantley, Bregman, and Alvarez for the third time through the order. And he hasn't really gone 90, 100 pitches in a very long time. And people were pissed off about that. And what do you think would have happened if the first pitch in the sixth inning left the yard by Michael Brantley or Bregman hit a double and Alvarez hit a two-run shot? What do you think we'd be talking about now? You know, so, and then he goes right, you know, so it's just, to me, it's like all results based. Like, whatever happens, it was the wrong call. If a guy gets somebody, like Renfro sucks. Renfro hit a freaking rocket to Bregman. He did everything he needed to do. He didn't get the ball in the air and hit a home run, but he had an absolute missile down the line. It was a great play by Bregman. So did Renfro choke, or was it a great play?
Well, that was a great play.
Yeah. So, but I think collectively, Red Sox fans, nobody, not a single one of you, not a single Boston sports fan felt good about Martin Perez in the ninth. Not a single one of you. And I don't blame you one bit. I don't blame you at all. Let's see. Derek, on the way to the game tonight. What's up, Derek?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I was in the game last night, and what happened last night, the Red Sox got exposed. And I haven't wanted to call in and talk about this and be like a negative Nancy, but in the third game against the Rays, the heart of the order was like 3 for 23. They won the game, so it was fine. But then when J.D. Martinez hit that grand slam in game two, they had been 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position at that point. Last night they got a ton of runners on base. They're not doing their job. They're getting everything with home runs, which is fine. The game's won by the three-run homer. But they got exposed. They're not knocking guys in when they should.
All right, Derek. I tell you, some of the two-out numbers. What did you say the two-out numbers are when you
two-out
the
numbers
show?
In the playoffs? The
Astros hitting
472. The Astros are hitting 472. You're hitting 182. But that's with two outs. And that's my whole, you know, mentality when it comes to them as far as with two outs in the game, you really, you know, the pitcher has the advantage. You almost feel like you're done. And then they don't care. It's like that is not even they're not even thinking about what's at stake. It's like two outs, ninth inning. Hey, let's go rip seven runs out. Like the inning, you couldn't get yourself out of that situation. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. It was like it was unnerving.
The Red Sox are being exposed offensively, like you just said.
No, well, I think there is. You can have a discussion as far
runs
as how
in game three.
I do think you can have a discussion. Well, okay, so you don't think there's a debate as far as how they're getting their runs?
Well, I'm not going to sit there and say. So 21 of the 27 runs they've scored have been because of home runs.
Yeah,
so 81%. So does that mean they're hitting too many home runs?
Well, I think that to me is interesting because
right?
are
What's
you just no, but it does kind of open up the debate as far as. Okay, can you do the little things?
No.
Can you drive? Can you hit a single in the gap?
I agree, but
are you only hoping for a home run to bail yourself out?
I know, and they've got 21 home runs right now, which is the most this organization has ever hit in the history of the postseason in nine games.
Seems kind of odd to me.
Whether if you think that's fluky, and you don't think that's going to continue, then you would sit there and say, okay, let me see the base hit, ball four, you know, single up the middle, double in the gap, like put on three runs on the board without hitting a home run.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not easy to do. You know, really, Houston is the first team to do it in that ninth inning. You know what I mean? With just Knox and everything else. But so both these teams, you know, they won game one because of the home run. They had a two-run shot and a solo shot. You know, last night it was a home run and a home run. So it was just, you know, Bregman, Altuve, tied it to it. No one's really doing it because in the postseason it's tough to string it together with good pitching. So I don't know. I have a hard time saying they've been exposed. Like 24 hours ago, if somebody called up and said this offense is being exposed right now,
no, I don't think that is. I don't think that is the case.
Based on what?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's the emotional roller coaster that exists with playoff baseball.
All right, let's go to Bill and Revere. Bill, what's going on? Yelling, Lou and Christian. By the way, Alex Cora is going to join us in about 30 minutes at 3:15. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
I wanted to comment, especially about Lou and Martin Perez. I'd much rather see Matt Barnes in that roster spot. I mean, you brought him in to face lefties. It was like the old Route 1 batting cages when he came in. It was terrible.
You'd rather see Matt Barnes?
And Martin Perez? Martin Perez looked like medium pitch Route 1 batting cages against lefties. That was horrible.
Have you seen Matt Barnes throw lately?
Have you seen Martin Perez throw lately?
I did last night, but I'm just saying. How about this? How about neither one of them?
Well, I agree with that.
there you go.
Saying that. The other observation is
Robles.
They only had three. You know, it was a bad offensive night. They had three hits through eight innings. And two of them belong to Xander Bogaerts. So it was a very bad offensive night for them as well. You know, it can't happen again tonight.
Well, it was nice to see the home run from Bogey. That sure was. Thanks for the call.
Xander
Bogaerts. That guy's typing away. How can he type so fast?
Eight walks?
A lot of walks.
Seven, eight walks. So they got. That's why they got guys on base. I think they were left 11 guys. They were 0 for 9 with runners in scoring.
Christian Arroyo in the bottom of the fourth hit a one-out triple. Yeah. And then you couldn't drive him home.
And then Kyle
popped out to the catcher.
You know, missed a hanging slider and just sort of grounded out to short.
Kike popped up to Maldonado.
Kike first and second, one out. He punched out against Raley, I think. You know, they had Greinke, you know, on the ropes in the first. They had him on the ropes again in the second. And, you know, after walking Schwarber, Raley gets, you know, he gets Kike and he gets Devers. So, I mean, there was plenty of opportunities to turn a 2-1 game into a 4-1 game, something like that. Let's go to Matthew in Charlotte. Matthew, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yep. What's up?
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, I heard you guys talking about Chris Sale. I was basically in agreement. I think he's going to come out and dominate. I mean, we know how competitive he is. We know it's a must-win. He's as good as he's ever been. He's just trying to figure it out. That's all. I mean, I didn't mean to say it like that, but he's still Chris Sale is what I'm trying to say. So,
thanks for the call, Matt.
See, that's the whole, like, he's still Chris Sale, right?
No, he's not.
Like, I mean, yes, his actual name is Chris Sale. That is the
and
person
mentally,
Chris Sale.
Psychologically, things he says, it's still the same guy. But again, the left arm isn't right. And it isn't. And people, you know, this guy sucks in the postseason. This is why you gave him all that money. No, it's not. It's not. You didn't give him $30 million to come out after Tommy John, not pitching for a year and a half, to try to go out there and give you four if you can. No. Hopefully next year he's healthy. Because if next year, a year from now, if he's in this spot, then I expect him to go out there six innings and dominate. Maybe seven and dominate. There's no chance of that happening, which tells you he's not the same guy right now. I just don't think you can judge him based on all of that. Let's go to Brian and Natick. Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, Lou.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Providence College 93, brother. We got some mutual friends like John McCain. Oh, but I was calling about that. Hey, man, whatever happened to if it's close, it's a strike, especially with two outs, man. I thought at first I was all for the robot empire, but guys are just going to be out there looking for walks, like in Little League. Even like last night, it felt like that. Whatever happened, if it's close, it's a strike. It should be, you know, the zone's a guideline, and if it's close, it's a strike, especially with two strikes.
Well,
what do you think of that? And did you?
Well, I'm just.
Hasn't that been the way? Was it the way for you in college and even in?
No,
the
Brian.
Post?
Here's the thing. It's both ways, right? You think JD likes the if it's close, it's a strike call on that ball four?
No,
this is these guys are big league umpires. Like they this is what they do for a living. Just be
no
better.
Second job.
Just be better at it. How's that? Just be better at it. Let's go to Tony in Bridgewater. Tony, what's up? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
I talked to you before the series, Lou. I hate this crap with the wine and with the umpires and stuff. I called you before the series, and my concern was the way these guys hit, not only with runners in scoring position, but two outs.
Yeah.
You got callers calling about like Houston's a bum team. Houston's a great team. There isn't a pitcher on either side that's going to dominate in this series. It's who outslugs who, and especially with runners in scoring position.
Mm-hmm.
You could take that to the bank, that whoever wins that, who hits the runners, it's going to win the series. Houston are not bums. What are these people calling about?
Tony,
like we got
who's
wrong.
Saying that?
I don't think anybody's
I don't think
saying
there
that.
Is a soul. No, people, first off, not many people thought day. The Red Sox could beat the Astros, and then once you got into the series, it was, you know, I think it's over, but this lineup is still very good.
I'm hearing about whining, a lot of whining all day about the umpire and this and
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, that's
you know
different.
I know, Tony,
that's different.
That's different.
I would like to whine about the umpires.
You think people think this team is bums? I think there's a lot of people out there that sort of felt like this thing is far from over.
I think there's been a lack of respect for the Astros, though, because the 2-1 series lead, everyone acted like it was 3-0 and the series was over.
Based on how badly they were getting their butts whooped, how many runs they were scoring. But I would say, even in those losses, they still had opportunities to kind of chip away at the score and make it really, really uncomfortable for you. That's what I felt. And the longer the game goes on, I feel like I have more faith that they'll get the runs late in innings as opposed to you. Like you want to give the pitching duel, the pitching, I guess, you know, check mark to the Red Sox? Fine. That situation, I give it to them. You say it's a push. I don't know. To me, I feel like they just welcome the opportunity. Like they almost can't wait for it.
No, they do. They do. And I think you do too. I think Tony is right in the fact that there isn't, you know, pitchers aren't going to dominate the rest of the way. Like, you know, you got Sale, you got Eovaldi, you got Erod. You think Erod game six, Eovaldi game six, he's your best pitcher. You think he's going to walk through game six? I don't. I mean, I think he's good. He's the best you got right now, but I don't
And then
I don't
Erod
think,
game seven.
Yeah,
if there's
I mean,
game
if
seven.
He goes, listen, if he goes six and shutout, it'd be beautiful. But it's like, I don't expect any of those guys to walk through a lineup. So can you do what you did to Valdez? Can you do what you did to Garcia? Can you do what you did to Urquidy, you know, in two of these next three games and win this thing? You're not winning this thing scoring three runs, two runs. It's not going to happen. Someone's got to put up six or seven if you want to win some ball games. All right, listen, this hour, is brought to you by Window World of Boston. Give them a call at 1-800-NEXT-WIN or online at windowworldofboston.com. Remember, Alex Cora is going to join us at 3:15. When we come back, we take more of your calls to get you ready for this game. Sox fans, how are you feeling? You still confident? It's a three-game series. That's all you got left. 617-779-7937. That's next on Marloni and Fourier.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.